And what it really does, ultimately, is it clouds our judgment. So the CEO says, oh, our company's going to take over the marketplace, but really behind the scenes, they don't have the resources to do it. Or the athlete says, I'm going to take over the game. Give me the ball. When the best strategy would be, let's work as a team. That's the best strategy. Or you and I might say, this is pride too, you and I might say, boy, I don't need that help in my life. I can figure it out myself. I can figure it out myself. I've solved my problems in my own life before. I don't really, really need the help. Pride. You know, Satan ultimately won't work on us with temptations. He'll move on to pride. He'll load up our cart so that we're weighed down. If we got a lot of pride, we're not going to be able to move in our life. Now let's shift it here to shame. Remember, shame is the horse. So shame is something in which I feel bad about myself or something that I've done. I really don't feel good. That's shame. So in this scenario, how do you see this working out in the court, the horse and cart scenario? All right, it's kind of hard to see. I'm sorry for the resolution. But does anyone ride their cart that way? You're going to be in trouble if you do. So the horse is behind the cart. Not really going to go too far, right? That's the way shame works when we have a lot of shame in our life. And my friends, I actually believe Isaiah had a lot of shame. Did you hear it in the passage at all? Where did you hear shame? Isaiah says this, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. Or actually says, woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. There's shame in those words. The word woe actually means cursed. I'm cursed. Isaiah felt cursed. He felt a lot of shame. Shame happens in our life when we think we're really good at something, and then we find out there's someone a lot better than us, and everyone publicly sees it. Okay, did that make sense? Maybe. So I remember when I was taking piano lessons, Colleen like this, I had a recital that I've had a few famous recitals. They're always famous. Kids' recitals are always famous. And now this particular recital, I felt really good. I knew my notes, I knew my rhythm. I wasn't amazing, but I was in the ballpark, I was okay. Knew my notes, knew the rhythm, had a fairly short classical music piece that I played, and it worked. It was good. I got up to the piano and with the nerves, played. It was good, there was really good, and the bow was even good, like all of it, you know? Then Miss Carrie Brueggemeyer stepped up. You guys probably have a Miss Carrie in your life. Miss Carrie lived down the street. She got up, and her rhythm was extraordinary. And she played at a very advanced piece, and she did it perfectly. And you see, when I got back, I just got a few little smiles, but Miss Carrie got applause. And I wanted to just head out the door, okay? That, my friends, is shame. All right, when you think you're good at something, someone comes along, they're better than you, and you just want to hide. You want to run away. Isaiah has that experience here in Isaiah chapter 6. I don't know if you see it here, but Isaiah, again, he's the orator of Judah. He's a brilliant speaker. He's spoken eloquent words, but he comes into the presence of the Almighty God, of Yahweh. And notice that this passage actually mentions his lips. It mentions his lips because he thought that he was really good at speaking. And as he comes into the presence of Yahweh, of the Almighty God, Isaiah realizes he just can't compare, and that his lips are filthy and dirty compared to the Almighty God. And Isaiah wants to hide. He wants to run away. He's shamed. He's living in shame. The Bible has a bunch of people that have lived in shame. in that piano recital, I felt it. I wanted to head out the door. You think about passages in the Bible where Jesus met a woman at the well. She lived in shame. She had a kind of a background that wasn't so good, and she didn't want to be seen by anyone else. David in 1 Samuel 11, he wanted to hide after he had sinned with Bathsheba. The woman that touched Jesus on the side of his robe, she was living in shame for what she had done. And you see, you want to hide. So today I just want to ask a personal question on which side are you? You don't have to raise your hand and answer. But are you living like that today? Are you filled with a lot of shame? You got shame in your life? I do, over some things I do. We all do, right? Or are you prideful, right? Are you living that way? Shame or pride? Or do you have both? You have both. Both. Isaiah had both. The most important thing that I want to share with you today is this. Not these silly little pictures. They're fun, but it's this. If you feel broken with shame or with pride, God will still use you as his instrument and his tool.